Friday night we had our church potluck and baptism, and it was really an awesome time. If you came out, you know that. It's really great to celebrate with those who are getting baptized and see them just declaring to the world who they belong to. And if you're unable to make it, I encourage you in the future. Whenever you see events like that, a baptism coming up or any of these get-togethers, I really encourage you to come on out. You know, sometimes you might wonder, guys, is the Lord really doing much, you know, and what's happening around here and all? Well, just come out and watch. Friday night was a good example of that, as those were getting baptized. Just, it'll get you excited to see their excitement and their faith and all, and you see what God's doing amongst us. So just want to point that out. If you ever see those coming up in the bulletin and all, just make sure you come out and be a part of those. I think it'll encourage you, and you can encourage those too, as we all travel along together. I'm making my way over here because I'm going to grab this. I know some of you might have noticed this tool belt sitting here. Some of you noticed this probably earlier. I know that Jeff and Corinna did because I saw you guys looking at it. You go, what did they do? Who left their tool belt up on the platform? What's that about? Well, I'm going to use this as a sort of illustration today. And so if you allow me to, I'm going to put this on. I don't normally wear one of these, of course. The building we do around here has to do more with hearts and lives and spiritual aspect, but there is a certain amount of building that has gone on around here. This is Pastor Ben, by the way. This is Pastor Ben's work belt, tool belt. You can tell he's a working guy, you know. It's all stained up and stretched out and everything, and so, you know, he said I could borrow this, so I am going to borrow it for this morning. To give an illustration here, now I'm going to switch my microphone over to the tool belt. Hopefully it won't totally go off on it here, and especially drives Glenn crazy back there. But anyway, got to put on the tool belt because I want to have this illustration this morning. Got to put my trusty hammer in here too, you know. There you go. This morning we're going to read as Paul's going to be talking about some building. And I'm going to use the example of building a building to help drive home some of these points for us this morning. I know we have a lot of tradesmen here in our fellowship. I know a number of you are involved in the trades in terms of electricians and plumbers and carpenters and all the various parts that go into building a building. And maybe I'll be at least calling on you or calling on your examples this morning as we talk about this. But as most of you understand and realize, there's a lot that goes into building a building. But there's even more that goes into building a life. And Paul's going to address that this morning. If we're going to have a life that's going to be well lived, if we're going to have lives that hear well done from the Lord at the end of our journey, then we need to heed how to do that. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Go to verse 9, if you will. We're in 1 Corinthians 3. We're going to pick it up in verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. I use an example like a tool belt to drive home this point this morning about being builders. But please make no mistake about it. It's not meant to be some cute little illustration that you can leave and say, oh, wasn't that kind of interesting? Or maybe you can make fun of it. Boy, was he weird today. But it's more than that. Because it's not just a little story, but it's speaking about, it's pointing to the fact that there is coming a day. As sure as you're sitting here, there's coming a day when your life will be examined by God. You will not be able to avoid it. It is coming for every single one of us. And you want to be ready. You want to hear well done. And so we're going to talk about that. I've called our time together this morning, saved, yet so as through fire. Let's pray. Lord, you made us, designed life as it is supposed to be lived. Only in you do we find eternal life and purpose of life, meaning. Only in you do we find the foundation and the materials to build a life that will withstand the storms of life. Lord, only in you. Lord, speak to us this morning. Show us. Show us what we've been building on, what we've been building with. Lord, challenge us. Because you love us, Lord, we know you want the best for us. So, Lord, if we need some conviction, exhortation, whatever, Lord, speak to our hearts, Lord. Have your way, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The church at Corinth had a lot of problems. And a good part of what Paul writes them about is to bring up these problems and to try to correct the problems, what they needed to do about it. And so this letter is a corrective letter. And as chapter 3 opens, Paul really lays his finger on much of what was the root that had led to many of their problems. Go back to verse 1 for just a moment here. Verse 1 of chapter 3. I'm going to adjust Ben's belt here. I want to make sure I don't have it making a lot of racket stuff up here. There we go. Chapter 3, verse 1. Paul says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" So Paul puts it straight out there. You see, there's the natural man, the man who's not received Christ as Savior yet. And there is the spiritual man, the man who has received Christ and the Holy Spirit has taken up residence inside that person. But here we see that in the spiritual man, there's two categories, if you will. And he points to one here, and he uses them as that. He says, this is what's wrong with them. He says, you guys are carnal Christians. Carnal means fleshly, worldly. And that's what they exactly were. They were fleshly, worldly Christians. Now, that they were Christians is the case. We see that Paul calls them brethren in verse 1. And he calls them babes in Christ. And so they were indeed Christians. They'd been born again, but they stayed right there. What's cute for a baby is not cute in someone 20, 30 years old. And he's pointing that out. They had stayed as infants in the Lord. And the evidence he points out for that, of their carnality, their worldliness, that they were looking to the world instead of not the Lord, is that they had to be fed with milk. They couldn't receive solid food. They couldn't handle the heavier issues of Scripture, the doctrinal issues and all. He says they were caught up in envy, strife, division. Those are evidences of someone who is being carnal, fleshly, worldly. And he says they're behaving, he says, like mere men here. The idea is they were behaving like the world. They were approaching things as the world would. They went against the things in their lives. They handled them with the old way of thinking, the old strategies, the old things you learned growing up and all, outside of the Lord maybe, and just different things like that. And so he says, you guys, you're being like the world here. And so he says in verse 4, "For one says, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal?" To that, Paul says in verse 5, "Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So that neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. And each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor." So Paul says, you guys are saying, I'm of this guy and I'm of that guy. And he says, it's God that does it. Yeah, maybe one plants, another waters, but God's the one who designed this whole thing. It's God who gives the increase, and it's God that they better focus on. That leads us to our focus verses for this morning, the ones we began with. Let's look at it again, verse 9 and following. "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Think for a moment on that phrase, "You are God's building." That's what we're going to focus on for a moment. That's why I have this tool belt on, to make us think about, help us think about, hopefully leave here thinking about that idea. You are God's building. So I want you to imagine this morning that it's my plan to build a building, and I'm going to call on somebody to help me build this building. But we need to think about some things about this building, don't we? So the first thing we see here is the importance of the foundation. Before the walls go up and everything else, we've got to think about the foundation. Now, you guys in construction, you know this. The foundation sets so very much for how the building's going to turn out. The building will only be as strong as the foundation. It can only go as high, be as big as the foundation will allow it to be. So if I came to you and I said, okay, I've got my stuff on here and I want to build this building. And let's say you are in one of the trades. You're a carpenter, plumber, whoever. You have something to do with construction. But all of us understand this example, of course. But just think about this. If I came to you and I said, okay, I want to build this building. What are some things you would probably ask of me if I'm asking you to help me build this building? Well, you probably ask things such as, well, what kind of building are you wanting to build? What's it going to be? What do you hope to use the building for? How tall do you want the building to be? What kind of loads is it going to have to handle in terms of how high you want it to go and all? And so you would ask questions along that line. Just what type of construction do you prefer? And things like that. See, you need to know that, huh? Because, well, that's why we pour all those footings and put in the rebar and trench in the utilities and everything ahead of time. That's why the foundation is so critical, because it determines the end product. Now, think in terms of that as applied to your own life. What kind of foundations do we need for building a life well lived? A life that will hear well done? Well, first of all, the foundation that we need to have in this life is a foundation that must handle the weight. First of all, the weight of our sin. My foundation must be a foundation that when I place my sin upon it, it won't crack and crumble, but it can handle it. It has to be a foundation that can handle the pressures of this life. I need a foundation that can handle the grief, the cares, the sadness, the dashed hopes, the dashed dreams that we can experience. It has to be a foundation that can handle the storms of life. When the winds of adversity blow against this house, it has to be able to stand. The building might sway, but I need a foundation that will stand, that'll stand firm and stay put. I need a foundation that I can build this life on. A life that matters. A life of worth. So it must be able to be a foundation that can stand for eternity. A foundation that time and circumstance can't wear away. Think about this foundation. Think about this first requirement. I said it should be a foundation that can bear the weight of all our sin. What foundation can possibly hold the weight of all of our sin? What could possibly meet those code requirements? If I build my life upon man's philosophy, if I build a life upon psychology, if I go with the way the world says to build this life, upon power, fame, pleasure, money, all those things that so many people indeed live for, if it's anything on this horizontal level, it will fail me. That's what the Lord lovingly is trying to encourage us and exhort us and warn us about. It will be sinking sand. No matter how good it might look, in the end, it is sinking sand. It's not worthy of building my life upon. You see, that's why Paul says in verse 11, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." No one but Jesus can meet that requirement of my sin being laid upon him. He can handle it. He bears it. He forgives. He cleanses. He washes. No one but Jesus can withstand the weight of our sin. Only Jesus is the foundation that we can and must build upon if it's going to last. Now it comes to a really important question, that being the case. What are you building your life on? not what we maybe say or would like to think we are, but what really are we about? What really do we build our life upon? Now, what if I said to you, I don't want to put much work in the foundation. My old foundation is just fine. Let's say I came to you and I said, okay, I want to build this building. And you said, okay, what do you want to build? I want to build a beautiful, beautiful house or this great skyscraper or something. And you say, okay, well, we better build a really good foundation. And what if I said, well, nah, I don't want to put a lot of time. My old foundation's fine. We don't need a lot of footings or anything. Just that old sandy. I've kind of got a spot cleared out here. This is good enough. You say, well, no, man, it might look good now, but it's not going to last you. You can't just go with that. Well, I'll put a nice building over it. No one's ever going to see it. What's the big deal? You know, if I did that, there'd be disaster up ahead for me, wouldn't there? And yet so it is with so many people. They think they can build a life, even a life for God, but they're building it on the old foundation of the old nature. They don't come to Jesus and begin there by being born again. They say, you know what, I can get my life together. I realize I've made some mistakes, but I can be good enough, and I can offer that to God when life's over. I can build my life on the way I am. I'm basically this good person. And so they think that that's the foundation that's going to do it. But God won't honor the building because the foundation isn't of Him. But too many people think they can do that. And so they have this, they're building on a foundation of their natural self, the old life. They haven't yet started with the foundation that you got to do. You see, any other foundation truly is sinking sand. You have to start at the beginning. You got to lay the foundation. You must receive Jesus as Savior. If you're going to have a life that's going to be the way God designed it to be, if you're going to go to heaven. But having said that, let's say that you have received Jesus. You have now that foundation upon Jesus. Then this text is especially for you because he's talking to believers here, isn't he? But what kind of believers were they? Carnal. Now we all know what a carnal Christian is, right? A carnal Christian is the other guy. We're right where we're supposed to be. We're tracking great. Everything's fine. We never go with the old way of thinking. We never are tempted by the world, etc. Well, of course, I'm just kind of jesting about that. We need to take a look at ourselves. Is there any place where we go with the old way, the world way? We're being duped. Only in the vertical am I going to find what I'm looking for. Do I ever look to the horizontal for these things? Even other people, when it's supposed to be God's place. Be careful. He's speaking here. In verse 10, what's he say at the end? Let each one take heed how he builds on it. You got the foundation? Now, take heed. Be careful. It's a warning. Be very careful how you build. Now, I'll go to verse 12. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clearer. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. What's Paul talking about? He says, okay, you got the foundation. He says, now let's talk about building materials. What you're building with. He starts talking about gold and silver and precious stones, wood, hay, straw, stubble. Those are building materials. And so the question becomes now, what are you building on the foundation of Jesus? What are you building with in your life? In this building that you're going to help me build, let's say I called upon those of you who are in the trades. You know construction. You're going to help me build it. So you come out to the job site. I've got all the materials out there to begin the project. You probably would wander over to the area that has the material that you're going to be involved with. Carpenters, you're going to go check out the lumber, make sure you've got everything ordered up and all the fasteners and everything else. And electricians, you're going to check out the wires and all. Plumbers are going to check out to make sure all that stuff's ready to go. Well, let's say you wandered over to my materials and you started looking around and you saw this rotten, this really bad lumber. You look at the wiring's totally insufficient, not up to code. The plumbers you go look at, and I've got all these old busted up corroded pipes I found somewhere. None of the right connections are there. I mean, you guys might look at that and say, hold it, Dale. You can't build with this stuff. You build a building with this stuff, Dale, and it's not going to pass. It's not going to hack it. What if I, to you, said, oh, you know what, it's okay. Go ahead and use it, because when it's done, I'm going to put a really good coat of paint on it. I'm going to paint this thing. It's going to look really good. No one will be able to tell the difference by looking at it. We'll put some stucco on the outside, paint on the inside. It's going to look really good. No one will be able to tell the difference. You'd say, what? Well, yeah, but time's going to tell you the difference. First storm that comes along is going to start showing you the difference. See, a lot of people build their lives like that. They put the veneer on. They put the paint on. Look real good to everybody. And you never know that the person's building with rotten lumber, with hay and stubble, straw. And so they think, well, I'm okay. Because it looks so good. You know, go to church, dress right, talk right, put all the outside stuff on. But God sees the inside, and because of his great love and concern, he says, no. Because that very case, that life will reveal the problem, and certainly when the great building inspector checks out the work, you will not pass. See, those at Corinth were building with hay and stubble, straw. They were building with, they had pride, there was contention and strife and division. They rejected the solid meat that God wanted to give them, the solid building materials of life. Babies live by feelings, don't they? And they express their feelings pretty quickly. When they're hungry, they'll let you know. When they need to be changed, they let you know. When they need to go to sleep, they let you know. When they want to get up, they let you know. It's all driven by feelings, and they let you know. And it can be cute in a baby, but really not cute in a 30-year-old. But again, so it is for so many spiritually. Born again, but staying right there. And the Lord says, it's not cute anymore. And it's going to be disastrous if you stay there. See, babies are all about feelings. They're all about self. They just want to feel good. They want to be fed. They don't think about feeding others. They just want to be fed. And so it is for the carnal Christian. Just make me feel good. Don't challenge me. Don't exhort me. I don't like conviction. Just kind of pet me and make me feel good and give me a nice warm feel-good message. Tell me I'm okay like I am. And that's what it's about. Self. And feelings, and what about me, and I want to be happy all the time, and I should have to go through this trial, and on and on. Those are symptoms. And he says, you should be concerned if you see that. The Corinthians were approaching their life and their relationships just like people in the world. And so he said, what are you doing? And it's in love. You're missing out. You got all these great building materials available, but you're building with straw and hay and stubble. So this morning, what about you and me? Does this describe you this morning? What do you feed yourself spiritually? What are you building on spiritually? Are you a junk food Christian? You know, bring on the cotton candy. Bring on the candy bars. In other words, yeah, give me all that feel-good stuff. Give me the emotionalism. I mean, run around here, this dynamic speaker here and that thing there. And, oh, they got this new thing going on over there and all these trends and fads. But I don't want to sit just under through the Bible doctrinal stuff. I want to feel good. What are you feeding on? Do you feed yourself a lot of secular stuff and wonder why you're so ill spiritually? You know, there's probably not too many people here. I bet there's maybe not even one that's going to eat today and not eat again until next Sunday. And yet there's a lot of people here that are going to do that spiritually. Well, you'll eat this morning and you'll think you can live all week spiritually on it until next Sunday. But that's a formula for ill spiritual health. That's a formula for building a poor building. Because you're going to be tackling things all day long, and you're going to make decisions. And if you're not in prayer and seeking the Word and all and building like He says, then you're going to go the old way or the world way or whatever, and you're not going to like the results. What are the gold and silver and precious jewels for our growth? It is things like that. It is prayer, spending time with our great architect, our great designer. It's real worship from the heart. It's praise. It's really getting familiar with the blueprints and the specifications of God's building manual, His blueprint. It's feeding on the whole Word of God, not just some pet doctrine or some pet approach, but on the whole. That's why we do. We go through the Word of God around here, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, through the whole Word of God. So we have all those building materials available to us. What's the difference between gold and silver and straw and hay and all? Well, a lot of ways, really. But first of all, of course, he's using gold and silver as an example of that which is permanent, contrasted to that which is temporary. Gold and silver and all are hard to obtain. Straw and hay, much easier to obtain. Do you go the easy way? The route of less resistance? Whatever, oh, whatever. I'll just do that. Feels good. Careful. Look at what you're putting into your life. Are those things gold or are they stubble? Have you ever thought about your spiritual health? Maybe why you're struggling this morning. Maybe you've come with certain issues in your life and you're wishing the Lord would speak to that. And yet maybe He is in a way you hadn't been prepared for. Maybe He's saying, yeah, but that thing going on, that's a symptom. That's a result. Just as someone might go to the doctor and say, I'm weak in this area, but well, you need some vitamins or something. The Lord's saying, well, it's because of what you've been feeding yourself. It's because of what you've been building with. That's why this is going on. And what's He say? Take heed. Be very, very careful. Now, verse 13. Each one's work will become clear for the day, capital D, for the day will declare it. It's speaking of a specific day. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. The day, with a capital D. There will come a day when you will stand before God to have your works judged. Let me be very clear. It's not a salvation judgment. You are saved by grace. You are saved because you have faith in Jesus Christ. You recognize that what He did on the cross was for you. You confessed you're a sinner and you receive that payment, that atoning work. The moment you did that, you're saved. You're heaven bound. So it's not a salvation judgment. As He says in verse 15, He Himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So, it's a judgment not of salvation, but it is a judgment that every believer should care greatly about. Do you live in an awareness of that fact that there's coming a day when how you lived, what you did, what your motives were, what you built this life on and for and about will be examined, judged by the Lord? It is as sure as you're sitting there. And I want you to know it. It's my privilege, my calling, my duty to warn all of us, to remind all of us. It is coming. You do not get to go around the metal detector. You have to go through it. Every single one of us. It is going to happen. And I don't want somebody standing on that day and turn around and say, Pastor, you should have told me. You should have let me know. I wish you'd warn me. God is warning you. There's going to be an examination of what we were really about. There's a fire, a testing fire of our works, it says. Now, it says each one's work will become clear. Verse 13. Each one, not mine for you or you for me, each one will have to step up to the examination time. Each one will have a time when our works are going to go are placed upon that examining table, that fire, whatever that's about. And what will be clear, it says? What sort it is. Now, fire in the Bible represents just that, judgment. So I don't know exactly what this judgment, this examination is going to be about, how it's really going to go down. I don't know. Is there a big furnace? I don't know. But just an example, it's going to be something that's going to, it's as if there's like a big conveyor belt. Again, it's just an example. But the idea is, just picture like a big conveyor belt, and there's a big fire there. And this fire refines everything out that's not done for the Lord and of the Lord and with love as the motive and that and all. Everything that's done of, that's wood and, stubble and hay and all that's not of the Lord is going to be burned off. So our lives are placed on there, not salvation, but our works. They're placed on this conveyor belt. And in they go to be judged. And the Lord walks us down to the other end and we're all sitting there going, we're watching. Is anything going to come out? I hope something comes out. It's that idea. He's going to examine it. And what will there be there? Some people live in verse 15. If anyone's work is burned, he'll suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Unfortunately, some people say, hey, that's exactly where I'm at. As long as I'm saved, as long as I'm there, I don't care if I show up in heaven smoking like a chimney. I don't care everything in my life is burned off of me. Everything I've ever done, as long as I'm there. As long as I'm in heaven, that's all I care about. The Lord says, you better care. Jesus gave the example of a master who came back and found a servant who hadn't done anything with what the master had entrusted to him. And Jesus says that the master called that servant a wicked and lazy servant. This is all in Matthew 25. I don't want to be called a wicked and lazy servant. The Lord says I should desire to hear well done. That's in that same passage. That we should want to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things, come on in. Enter into the joy, he says. The joy he's had prepared for us. So you want to be able to offer to him that. You want to be able to offer him a life that he had control of, that he's able to work in and through, that you discover the purpose of why you were here. You want to be able to take that well done and the rewards and offer them right back, because that's the idea. Because in the end, it'll all give him glory. You want to be able to give him glory then. So if you stand here and say, well, as long as I'm there, that's all I care about, then you're in opposition to the Lord, because he says you should care about hearing well done and giving God glory. And if you stand here and say, well, I care if I'm there, then you sound a lot like the Corinthians. That's where they were at. They're all about them. And that was a definition. That was part of their carnal nature. They just cared about if they're there, but they didn't worry about giving God glory, being something he could work through as well as in. So God is saying this for all of us. He wants lives that will stand today and that will stand for eternity. Lives that will say, well done. Now, again, it's salvation by grace. But this well done here has to do with having had lives where he had his way. And so that's partly why Paul says what he says here, because he wants us to give glory to God for eternity. We want lives that will give glory to God for eternity. We haven't read these verses, but let's look at the last two now, verse 16 and 17. In light of us being God's building, what kind of building are we? Verse 16, do you not know that you are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. This is awesome stuff. This is really good stuff. There are two Greek words translated into the English temple. One Greek word is herion. It means the whole temple grounds, the buildings and all. There is another Greek word called naos. It means the inner sanctuary, the holy of holies, the place where they would go and meet with God. It is that second one, the inner sanctuary, that he says that you are, believer. And this is only for believers. you must receive Jesus. But if so, the Spirit moved inside, and we are now this temple, the inner sanctuary of God. The place where God wants to manifest Himself. He wants to display Himself in you and through you. The place to meet with God in you, you and Him, one-on-one. Consider the blueprint God has for your life. Consider the building God has made you and wants to build you up into. Romans 8 tells us that the Lord wants to mold us and shape us and conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. That's what He wants to build. You see how sad it is when we settle for just coasting along? If we just settle for, well, I'll just be there someday. I'm saved. I'll be at home in heaven. Do you understand? Yeah, being home is going to be awesome, but do you see what we'll have missed out on? God is trying to show you and me that He saved us for an awesome purpose. It's what you want. It's the discovery of purpose and meaning for this life. It's lives well lived. It's lives at the end, you look back and go, oh, okay. God is able to work in and through, and I got to experience Him, and now I'm headed home to Him. And I'm going to hear a well done. He doesn't want to just save you and put you on the shelf. He didn't save you to let you just fend for yourself and hope you make it through or show up with something you can offer Him in the end. No, He's saying daily, 24/7, He wants to work in us and through us. He says that you are now the temple, the inner sanctuary of God. He saved us to work in you and through you. And it's an awesome work. And so I ask you, are you building with God's blueprint as your guide? This morning, do you need to start at the foundation? If you've never received Jesus Christ as Savior, you have to begin there. It would do you no good to pull up your bootstraps and go out and say, I'm going to build a building for God, and that's how I'll get in. I'll get in by offering Him this great building. Ain't going to happen. So first things first, if you've never personally received of Jesus as Savior, as we wrap it up, go to the prayer room, find a prayer partner, and tell them you need to receive Jesus. Maybe this morning you do have the right foundation, but you've drifted far from the designer's plan. You know you've been building with hay and stubble and straw. You know you've been doing things your way, the world's way. You know you've drifted from what He had for you. You know it's time to get back to the designer and let Him start building your life the way He's designed. You come get prayer. Make that recommitment today. Maybe you're someone who can look back and you see that God got a hold of you and God has been doing some awesome construction. You've been letting Him, and so you're building this life that is going to hear well done. If so, praise God. Thank God for it and let Him keep it up. Let's stand. Tim, why don't you bring the team up? Paul says, for we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. This morning, get the foundation laid. If you recognize the foundation is laid, then I lovingly try to exhort. Hey, I'm still getting sound, even though it's going all over the place here. That's pretty good. Maybe you had that foundation this morning. The call, take heed how you're building on it. So, last week, if you're here, what did I use as an example? Anybody remember what kind of little illustration I had, what kind of a little prop I had to remind us what we were talking about? Anybody remember? Tell me somebody remembered. A snorkel, a mask and snorkel. There you go. What was the idea? The idea was God wants us to go below the surface. That He has so much below that you can't see by looking at the top of the ocean. Got to dive down in. The deep things of God, He invites us. I pray there's been some spiritual snorkeling going on this week. If not, get to it. But this week, I've used this again. Now, again, you can say, boy, He's just kind of into the examples lately. Well, I don't use these props like this that much, but I felt like this would be another week to do that. And so I've even kind of laid it there. Maybe you can think about it. It'll help you think about what you're building, why you're building, where you're going with it, what you're building on, what you're building with. Take heed is the call. Take heed how you're building. may you build to the glory of the Lord. Father, because you love us, you sent your Son to die on the cross. Man is the one who caused the gap. Man is the one who sinned. Man is the one who's lost, dead as a doornail spiritually, without your touch, without that cleansing work from the cross. But Lord, in your love, you made the way, and you've called us, you've drawn us. Lord, if there's anybody who hasn't received the work of the cross, Lord, they're on sinking sand. It will not make it for now or eternity. Draw them now, I pray. And those who by your mercy we stand here forgiven, Lord, show us what we've been building with. Show us just if the world's crept in somewhere, if we've bought into building materials of the world. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, to build lives. Indeed, take over, Lord. Take over and build our lives unto you, that you indeed might hear, that we might hear well done, and you would get all the glory. So, Lord, we're just saying thank you. It's in your love that you save us, in your love that you want to build and give lives worth living. Help us now to let you. In Jesus' name.